This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Well, greetings, friends, and welcome to another edition of the Armor of God telecast. I'm glad that you've taken time to tune in again with us today. I'd like to share a subject with you today involving war. It's all around us. It's in our news, of course, and many of you perhaps have loved ones who are serving in the war against terrorism, whether they might be on the ground in Afghanistan or in Iraq. War is a reality in our midst, but it's not quite like the wars of the past in World War II. I'm recalling in my mother's book of memories, a treasure trove of things from her life. She has there coupons from World War II. Now, I was born in 1946. The war had ended, so I didn't experience the deprivation and the sacrifice of that particular war. I don't know how I'm sacrificing in this war to compare to that war, but in her days, you had coupons for everything, for gas and for meat and for different things and nylons, whatever it might be. So there was a sense of sacrifice in World War II that we of this era are not necessarily experiencing. Now, we complain about the price of gasoline, however, but that's not the same thing. In war, lives are lost. People die. And we are aware, because the news is with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we get to view and keep tally of the losses on this side for the United States and for those allies who serve with us. And we also hear about those unfortunate victims. Sometimes they are simply victims who lose their lives in the venues of Afghanistan and Iraq. But those are not the only places where war is going on today. Now, we don't necessarily tune in and zone into those places, but I want to talk about some of those places today as we share this information here on the Armor of God. Now, war is prophesied in the Bible, for instance, in Matthew 24. Jesus Christ took a moment to bring his disciples and his apostles into his confidence. He's in Jerusalem. This is prior to his death on the cross. And in verse 3, he sits down on the Mount of Olives. This is Matthew 24 and verse 3. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be?" Well, he had just told them that the temple was going to be destroyed and that there would not be one stone standing upon another. So they were curious as to when would that happen. And how would it happen? Because it would have to involve warfare for it to be successful. He said, they went on to say, "What shall be the signs of your coming and the end of the world?" The King James language, which simply means the end of the age. Jesus had a very curious response. He answered and said, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." That's a whole nother issue, another subject. But the second point that he makes that coincides with the red horse of the book of Revelation, which represents war, he says, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Whoa! There are more wars to come, even in the times in which we live, and many people claim we're living in the last days, prior to the return of Jesus Christ, and warfare is a reality. It goes on to say, "For nations shall rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms, and there shall be famine, pestilence, and earthquakes in different places." But the centerpiece of what we're going to discuss today is war. Now, before we continue, I'd like for you to jot down this information. We're offering you today two items. First of all, the booklet is entitled, "Why Christ Must Return." And one of the reasons Jesus must return to the earth, my friends, is because of the wars that we see all around us. He is going to put an end to it. He's not called the Prince of Peace for nothing. But he is going to perfectly end war with war. We are trying to end war with war. We're fighting the war against terrorism, you see. But it doesn't seem to end. It seems to keep escalating for some reason. But we are not Jesus Christ. He's going to return. And in fact, the sermon that we're offering today on cassette tape or in the CD format is entitled Prepare, the King is Coming. I would like for you to have these items if you'd make the toll-free call to 1-888-578-8791 or hit us up on our website at www.cgi.org. These items are absolutely free of charge if you'll make that contact with us. Now today, in talking about warfare, here's my suggestion to you. Now, we all know about what wars may be going on in various venues. Now, there are some places we don't necessarily pay attention to, but they're going on. But there are wars going on even closer to us that disturb us and make us weary with war. I don't know about you, but I live in the city of Detroit, right in the middle of it. Now, those viewers in Detroit are saying, oh, here's somebody coming bashing Detroit. No, not bashing Detroit, because I've lived in Tyler, Texas, where people get killed also, with drive-by shootings or robberies in the Walmart parking lot, where the whole nation got to see it on videotape when this woman was abducted and carried away. That's war. And that is terrorism. But we don't pay attention to it like that. We think about soldiers in camouflage gear, you know, fighting on distant shores. But warfare in our streets, in our land? Absolutely. In the city of Detroit, when a child or children can be watching television in the, quote, safety of their home and have a drive-by shooter come around and spray the house with bullets, hitting one of the little girls in her head and killing her because of a dispute over some kind of game, some kind of electronic game. You mean a life can be extended or expended because we got mad and upset? You know, wars have been fought in the past because people have been upset about a style of clothing. Oh, yeah, it's just a style of clothing. Back in the ancient times, you know, back in the Middle Ages, those kinds of things, perhaps they didn't like your religion. Oh, wars between the Protestants and the Catholics? Oh, yeah, a lot of wars like that. We often think of the wars between the Christians and the Muslims, but Christians who supposedly believe in the same Christ fought wars. Have you not heard of the 30 years wars or the 100 year wars that occurred on the continent of Europe? These wars have gone on. But the wars that are closer to us that require us lock ourselves down and move into gated communities and take all kinds of precautions, hoping to have garages to secure our items in. God forbid we take a vacation and go away and come back and find our homes have been robbed of our precious items because somebody calling themselves the have-nots choose to take from the haves, not working for them, not doing the right thing. And so we're all in a circumstance, we're under siege in our own villages, in our own communities, in our own cities, within the greatest nation on the face of the earth. But we don't think of that as war. And furthermore, there are wars in places that truly troubled me. I had the opportunity to view a presentation by Frontline, an NBC presentation, as they went into northern Uganda. Now, I was not prepared for what I was presented. There's a warlord there who concludes he's all-powerful, just in northern Uganda. He doesn't go down into the south where the army is more present. But he's up in the area where people cannot protect themselves. And you know who the victims are in that warfare? Children. He commandeers children and their whole families, and then requires that the children kill the weaker ones, the ones who are not pliant, the ones who don't comply to his will and his way, this warlord. That's what he calls himself, you see. So, and I'm not even going to give him the dignity of naming him, because he's such a detestable individual that he would take children. Do you know that he had one of the children who was 10 when he was taken? He's 12 years of age now, who escaped from that vicious regime. He required that that child take a stick and kill his mother. And he killed his mother to preserve his own life. You say, well, why would he do that? It's kill or be killed. Those are the kinds of wars that are going on in places, in places where we turn the channel very quickly so we don't have to see the depravity. Places like Uganda, places like the Sudan, places like Ethiopia, places like Niger or Niger, where warfare is going on, and we in the Western world are not in a hurry to intervene in any spectacular way like we have intervened in Afghanistan and in Iraq. It could ask you or cause you to ask the question, why not? Are they not living under terroristic regimes also that need to be supplanted? See, the political arguments that go back and forth as we see these wars being fought without the power on our side to do anything about it. We argue politically. When the Democrats were in control, you know, they were told that you are nation building when we should not be nation building. Well, the Republicans are in control now, and what are we doing? Well, we are nation building. How can that be? But this is the problem with war fought by human beings without the presence of the mind of God. Now, I know somebody is saying right now, well, didn't they fight wars in the Old Testament? They absolutely did. King David was one of the severest warriors that the world has ever known. He was, in fact, a great conqueror. When he took out Goliath with a stone and a slingshot, eventually cutting his head off with Goliath's own sword, and had a series of bloody battles where he was the victor. The saying was, David has killed, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. When it came time to build the temple, that was the desire of his heart. Almighty God says, no, you cannot build a temple for me, for your hands are filled with blood. He loved David. He has great promise for David, and David is going to be in the resurrection and in the kingdom of God, but God would not allow him because of his penchant towards war. Now, as we take a look at the scriptures here, there are some things we should know. James asks a question, the writer of the book of James. Turn back there to chapter 4 and see an answer to a question concerning warfare. Now, I have lived in major metropolitan areas most of my life. I've lived in Chicago, I lived in Detroit, lived in the Los Angeles area, in Pasadena in particular. And I have had the experience of walking out to where I parked my car and it's no longer there because somebody has stolen it. I have had the experience, perhaps you have too, of having your home broken into because somebody wants something you have in there. I have been blessed at this point not to be caught up in the circumstance where bullets have been flying in my immediate vicinity. But the fact of the matter is, many of you watching this program have had those experiences. And sometimes, vicariously, we watch over television the presentation of war around the world in different places for different reasons. But James asked this question, a very interesting question. He says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? That's a good question. Why is the world so at war? And we are told it's going to get worse. That's what Jesus says. Don't be troubled. It's going to get worse before it gets better. Now, that's something you'd want to contemplate and consider, wouldn't you? The fact of the matter is, it is going to get worse before it gets better. But the answer to the question, from whence comes wars and fightings among you, James says, come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members, that is, within you. Do you know that the person who robs another person of their shoes as they are walking to school, one of the young children who has just been given a gift to go back to school with a nice outfit, including those high-priced sneakers that we buy. I haven't even gotten into the economic wars that we're fighting. See, I haven't even gotten into that area. Have not gotten into other venues of warfare, but I'm just talking about how people lose their lives. Now, I am old enough, and I remember back when I went to school in this community for the first time, when a man stopped me, I say he was a man, he was older than I was, and said to me, "You're going to be a big man on the streets one day." I said, "Oh, really?" He said, "Yeah, you are. That's going to cost you a quarter." In other words, go into your pocket. He was robbing me on the street corner. That was back in the 50s. Today, you can lose your life over change because the warfare is so substantial in our streets, in our cities, and the police seem powerless to do anything about it. And those who are in power can't seem to stop it. And the people themselves continue to engage in this activity. Why? Because of the lusts that war, that fight within their own being. Some of them early on know that it is wrong, but they pass right over that stop sign as if it's not there at all. And they take, and they rob, and they terrorize in our streets while wars are being fought across the oceans to bring peace and stability to other communities when our own are disabled. It goes on to say, "You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not." You don't ask the right source. You don't ask of God, who is the source of every good thing, this book says in the first chapter. He is the God who gives all, the God who gives good things. Let's just take a look at that when you want to know who to ask. In the first chapter of the book of James, around verse 17. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." But we use our own power and our own force to try to obtain that which we cannot have. Verse 3, "You ask," this is back in James the 4th chapter, verse 3, "you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts." Do you realize the warlord over there in Uganda, who is commandeering all of these children and forcing them to kill each other, including their own parents from time to time, has a lust, has a desire, has a greed, has a want. And there are those involved in the larger wars, the ones that we are more familiar with, who operate on the same basis, this lust that dwells within us. It goes on to say, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Verse 4, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." And so we attach ourselves to associations and situations whereby we can consume upon ourselves our own lusts. Sometimes they're called unions. Right now, as we would tape this program, there are strikes going on. And sometimes these factions that butt heads together, where it's management or union, management or employees, it's a warfare. Have you seen the latest wars going on in Congress of the United States of America? They're on break as we record this program, but the war picks up in September of the year of this recording. And they're going to square off again. One side wants this, another side wants that, and the language has become so indecorous in the place where civility is supposed to reign. No, friends, war is all around us. But look at what we find in the passage in Isaiah. Isaiah, the 2nd chapter, back in the Old Testament, that document that should be properly called the Hebrew Bible, In Isaiah, the second chapter, this is early in the commission given to Isaiah, chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, and he, talking about the one who is to come, the Savior who is to come to the earth, it says, he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Oh, well, that's interesting, Isaiah, to see so far in the future, to see this reality. What is the sculpture at the UN, the United Nations building in New York City? It's of a, blacksmith. I guess that's what you would call him, one who works with iron. He has this huge hammer in his hand, and there's a plowshare, and he's beating... was a plowshare, and then there's a sword, and he has this hammer and the sword, and he's beating figuratively this sword into a plowshare. And that's taken right out of the book of Isaiah. But how much religiosity actually exists at the UN among its membership? Well, Micah, a minor prophet, he's called a minor prophet because of the size of his book, not because he is minor in content. In the fourth chapter, the same point is reiterated as we conclude our program today. It says, and he, again, this God who is coming, this Jesus who's coming back to this earth to end the war that we see, he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. In other words, those people engaged in all the kinds of warfare as we've talked about today, whether it be economic, whether they be physical and military, whether they just be the rebuke of each other in the midst of our living. It says they shall learn war, they shall not learn war anymore. What will be the promise of the future? They shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts have spoken it. For all people will walk, everyone, in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. There is coming an end to the warfare that causes us to be weary. We are going to be able to take our rest. There is a time of peace. If you'd like to learn more about it, call toll-free 1-888-578-8791, or hit us up at the website www.cgi.org to receive the materials today. What is going to happen? Why Christ must return and prepare? The King is coming. These items are free. I hope to see you again on another Armor of God podcast.